1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Three Song Stories, the show that forces our guests to find three songs that will always revive times and places and stories from their lives as the starting point for great conversations. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. Our guest this week is Megan Borowski. Megan is a senior meteorologist for the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network at the University of Florida in Gainesville. She was one of the voices who helped us through Hurricane Ian back in September of 2022. Megan grew up at the Jersey Shore and studied atmospheric sciences and meteorology at Rutgers University. Although her professional and educational pursuits revolve around STEM, Megan says she also has a passion for literature and the arts, including music. She plays several instruments and can more often than not be found listening to playlists that include a myriad of genres from classical to modern pop and everything in between. When she's not forecasting, Megan says she enjoys doing anything outside like biking, hiking, kayaking, and hitting the beach. She's also an avid animal lover and loves to spoil her dog. Good morning, Megan. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Mike. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. Thanks for doing this. It was nice to meet you when we came up there to Gainesville and started hatching this plot. And so now here we are. So thanks for doing it.
Thank you. Yeah. Several months later, it's finally coming to fruition.
So you mentioned your dog is at your feet. What did you say its name was? Chester?
Chester. Yes. He is my little partner in crime, my buddy. He's a little terrier and he's got spunk and heart like a big dog. He's a good companion.
When was the last time you spoiled him? Your bio says you spoil your dog.
Well, you know, I used to buy him ice cream, like the doggy ice cream, and I would give it to him every day. But one, they started getting really expensive. And two, I didn't want to overspoil him. So he'll get them every once in a while. But he goes on long walks and he gets pets and my undivided attention. So I think that's spoiling him enough.
Okay. That's the thing I learned today, that there's ice cream for dogs. So
yes,
where in New Jersey did you grow up and how would you characterize the musical background of your childhood? Like what was being played around you, your parents, mm-hmm. your siblings, if you had them, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in Toms River, New Jersey. It's in Ocean County. So it's right on the shore. I would say it's about an hour east of Philadelphia, and it's an hour south of New York City, if you can kind of picture it. It's like the corner of a right triangle. I have one sibling, an older sister. She's 1 year older than me. And I would say we kind of listened to everything, except for, you know, we really weren't into the cutting edge modern and pop, but we would listen to oldies and rock and a lot of classical. My mom is she's into swing and like the old school polka and all of that sort of thing as well. But it's really just a whole smattering of things. You know, old country as well. Of course, my dad is a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, so, and you know, Route 9, he Highway 9 and Born to Run, you know, Route 9 went right through Toms River. So huge Bruce Springsteen. I remember listening to Casey Kasem, the Top Countdown too. We would listen to that on the radio, but in the car. And in our discussion later, you're going to, you know, see that pretty much most if not all of my stories are going to center around listening to music in the car. That was the main place really that we listen to music, especially on road trips and things like that. I mean, the radio would be that unifying thing for us. You know, and also music was a big part of our lives on a daily basis. My mom taught both me and my sister how to play the piano. I mean, we were tinkering around on the piano when we were 1 and 2, and then, you know, she bought the intro books to teach us, and you know, we kept on playing, and then we kind of taught ourselves as well. So kind of a long-winded answer, but we listened to everything and we loved, you know, everything.
No, it was a good answer. It was a very comprehensive answer. If I ask you to stretch back as far as you can and just try to find an early musical memory or a memory that has music associated with it somehow, what pops into your head?
Oh boy. Let me think about this one first. I don't know. There's so many. I mean, I remember I would say this might be weird, but I guess I must have been two or three, and it was the start of the summer, and I believe we had just gotten like a sound system for the house where we would like we had speakers in one room, but it was hooked up to like the I don't know DJ sort of system like in the other room on the other side of the house. And you know how they used to put together those like CDs, party CDs that you could get at like the drugstore or something. This is like way back in the late 90s, early 00s. For some reason, I remember, I think it was Memorial Day and like, you know, putting my parents putting the CD into the sound system in the on the other side of the house, and it came out in the family room, and I was like, this is so cool. And but it was like your typical party hits. I don't even remember what
Well,
the
and the whole
songs
like
were
playing
like.
in a different room, you were like, we live in the future.
Well, yeah, I'm like 2 or 3 years old, and this is so cool. And of course, you know, it's the start of summer, so it's like that whole fun feeling and just the fun party tunes on there. I mean, it was like I don't know, like the Lumbada and the Limbo and or the Limbo Rock. I remember that one. And it wasn't like it wasn't a you know, headlining star singing it. It was just one of those party CDs
Yeah,
where you have no
it was royalty-free music that they were selling at
exactly.
the 7-Eleven.
Exactly. I think we got it. What was it called? The store was called the RX Place. And yeah, that was the store on Hooper Avenue. It has since been replaced by a Michaels that is, I think, still there. Yeah, that goes way back. That's like 2 or 3 years old for me. I can't believe I even remember that.
Well, that's why I asked. Do you remember the first time you saw music performed live that wasn't, a choir or a church or something like that, but more of a performance?
Well, we went to, we had a community college about 5 minutes away from where we lived, or where, you know, my parents still live there. So I do remember my mom taking me to the Young People's Orchestra, and it was a, you know, a symphony performance catered for children audiences. And I don't know, that must have been early on in elementary school, I remember. I believe it was Peter and the Wolf. You know, that's this, you know, the quintessential introduction of youth to the symphony, I believe, is Peter and the Wolf, and learning all the different instruments. And then another big standout memory, and I'm sure there's things from earlier in time, was when we went up to Broadway. You know, I was fortunate enough to live very close to the greatest city in the world. And so we, you know, we actually took a field trip with the Girl Scouts. My mom was the troop leader up to see Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. And, you know, I was young, about first grade, I would say. We took a bus trip up, and we saw the, you know, they had a live orchestra in the orchestra pit. And, you know, of course, everybody is performing live, including the songs. So those are the first two. Oh gosh, there's a lot of others though, because we went to the Grand Ole Opry when I was young. I was about second grade at the time. We saw Dolly Parton at the Grand Ole Opry. I mean,
Wow.
that was a huge memory. You know, believe it or not, Mike, the show was a light show, and I,
A
you
light
know,
show.
a
Like,
late show.
oh, a
Sorry,
late
the
show. I
show
thought you
was.
meant like a light show. I'm like, what do you
Yeah.
mean? It's Dolly
Could
at the
you
Opry.
imagine the Grand Ole Opry in lights? No,
Yeah.
it was a
It
late
was a
show.
laser light show, Dolly.
You know, I bet if she could, she'd figure out a way to do it. Because Dolly's awesome. Like I speak like I know her. But it was a late show, or at least she came on very late. I mean, you know, she's the headlining act, and of course they're going to keep her until the end. And you can ask my mom to this day. I am very regimented, even when I was a young whippersnapper. Very regimented, and you know, when I want to, you know, sleep, get up, you know, eat, all that sort of thing. So it was very late. I started falling asleep in the Grand Ole Opry when Dolly Parton's on stage. I'm just like nodding off, and of course I'm young and all of that, but I always chuckle when I remember that story. But we also went to Dollywood on a different trip, and I remember they had live bluegrass, you know, performances throughout the park. I think it was the Farris family. Gosh, That was the early 2000s as well. Huh. I don't know. So lots of musical memories. I could probably just sit here for 5 hours talking about just a few of them.
And your love of Dolly.
Yes. Yes. And she's one of the CDs that we would frequently listen to as well.
Yeah. I figure if you don't love Dolly Parton, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's do your first song. This is okay. This is Mr. Elvis Presley, who I'm not sure we've had an Elvis song on the show before.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now you have one.
Well, would you like to tell a story or would you like to listen to it?
Let's listen to it first, and then we'll talk a little bit about where it takes me.
Okay, this is Megan Borowski's first song here on Three Song Stories today. This is CC Rider, performed by Elvis Presley. This is from the album On Stage, recorded and released in 1970.
Wow, I purposely have not listened to that or any of the songs that we're going to listen to so I could get that a rush of memories. And that certainly happened with this one. So, backstory. When my sister and I were really young, for some reason, we loved Elvis. I mean, why wouldn't you love Elvis? But as like a five-year-old, I don't know, why would you, like, why would that be the artist that you fixate on? But we both absolutely loved Elvis, and we still do. So my dad took us to the CD store in the mall, and we loaded up on a couple of Elvis CDs, this being one of them. The February 1970 On Stage. I think that was recorded in Vegas, I believe.
I think so. It looks like, I watched the video and it looks like Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so we were obsessed with Elvis. And of course, you know, when we were in the car, that's the CD we wanted to listen to. And it just so happened for some reason, every summer vacation that we went on, this would be the first CD that would wind up in the player in the car. And so I immediately go back to getting ready to go to Florida because, you know, we lived in New Jersey and frequently, especially when I was younger, we would go to Florida on our summer vacations, usually Disney World or the Clearwater St. Pete area. Those were the two destination spots for us. Sometimes Jacksonville as well, because my mom has friends there still. But, you know, the immediate memory that comes back is sitting in the car. I would sit in, you know, the back seat, but behind the passenger side. So I would be sitting behind my mom. My sister would be to my left. She sat behind my dad. That was just the way that we did the car. And I remember it being, you know, very early in the morning, still dark out because we would load up early and we would be driving down Route 70 in New Jersey through the Pine Barrens at like 5 o'clock in the morning. Sun was just starting to come up. There's like a little bit of haze in the pine trees. And, you know, we're driving west so we can hook up to 295 and then eventually I-95. And I just have, so I have that image in my brain. I have this smell of the car, you know, early in the morning when the car has been sitting out all night. It's all loaded up with stuff and you have that like misty sort of smell in the car. And also that feeling of being a child, excited to go on this adventure with your parents. Your parents are like the captains going on an adventure and you totally, you know, you trust them and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. You really don't have a full grasp on time either at that age. So all of those feelings come back and it just reminds me of that childhood innocence of just, you know, you're not really worried about anything. You're just looking forward to every little blip of life, be it a car ride or stopping at Wendy's, you know, at 11 o'clock in the morning on that car ride, driving down I-95. Yeah. And it just, I don't know, it brings back all that happiness and that carefree mentality of childhood. And I think that's the beauty of this memory as well. And, you know, also the family vacation to Florida thing really sticks out in that feeling, but also it brings me back to another trip that we took and we went to Memphis and we went to Sun Studio and we went to Graceland. And we, you know, the whole Elvis thing that was a little bit later on, in my childhood, but it just, yeah, it's such a nice feeling too, of that anticipation of summer, that anticipation of, you know, spending a whole lot of time with your parents. My mom stayed home with us. She, you know, put her work on pause so she could stay home with us. But with my dad, it was like, you know, we get time with him too, and nonstop time on these little family vacations. And of course, being in the car, you know, driving from New Jersey to Florida, you know, a little car with four people, that can get interesting. But overall, it's just a nice, happy memory that brings me back to that optimistic outlook that you have as a child. It's quite a beautiful thing.
And this song is the first song on that album, right? So this would have been when you pop it in, it's how it opens.
That's exactly why I chose this song in particular. I don't have, you know, the thing that I love about this show is that it's not about your favorite songs. It's about songs that take you back. And that's the reason why I chose this one, because this was the first CD and this is the first song on the CD. There's plenty of other Elvis songs that, you know, I absolutely am in love with, that we could sit here and talk about the lyrics and the melody and really dissect it. But this song, just because it's that first one, it brings me back. And, you know, we would go through a rotation of the three CDs. I'm sure my dad was ready to hit the roof after a while of like, why? But we could have made him listen to a litany of other things. So I don't think Elvis is all that bad.
And they took you to Dollywood and Graceland.
Yes, my mother loves road trips. She will sit and God love her. She loves paper maps to this day. She just visited not too long ago and she has the maps from AAA. And when she's planning out her route, she will take out the paper maps. She will unfold them. She'll get out her highlighter. She'll take her glasses off and she'll like be looking at the map. And I don't know, she loves map. Maybe that's why I got into, you know, one of the reasons why I got into, you know, geography and meteorology is just because maps were everywhere. And later on, when we were taking road trips when I was in middle and high school, she was like, you need to get your own map and, you know, look at the map as we're driving and figure out where we are and, you know, look at the roads, look at the geography of the states. And yeah. Huh. So.
You mentioned high school. Where did you fit into the equation in high school?
Oh boy, what do you mean?
Well, you know, I mean, where did you fit into the equation in high school? Were you a band kid? Were you a jock? Were you one of the smart ones? You know, a little combination of the three?
Well, I was definitely the bookworm. I went to public school K through eight, and then high school went to Catholic school. And yeah, I was most certainly the bookworm in high school. I graduated second in my class. So I, you know, went to school. I had a job after school. I was a secretary. And then after that, I went home and I was big on the math and science stuff. I do absolutely love literature. So I guess I loved every subject. But, you know, at that point, I knew I wanted to be a meteorologist. If I wasn't going to become a meteorologist, I was going to do veterinary science and become a vet. But, you know, well into high school, you know, even before high school, I knew, okay, I got to focus on the STEM stuff. So I would, you know, load up on all the math courses and the science courses and really focus on that. But I tell you, even in my spare time, I do love the other subjects. History is fantastic. I actually participated in the History Bowl in high school, and that was cool because we got to go to the finals in D.C., and it was almost like a scavenger hunt where we actually went and participated in the trials. But, oh gosh, literature. I love British literature, especially Jane Austen and the Bronte sisters. Those are, like, that is my fun time stuff to just dive into and read. And yeah, I absolutely love that. And I fell in love with British lit in high school as well. So yeah, focused on the math and science, but I, you know, absolutely loved everything and definitely a bookworm. You know, not into the partying or any of that stuff. But
any musical memories associated with that time? Did you go to the dances? Did they have dances? And if so, did you go?
I went to a few of them. I really didn't frequent them all that much. Cause you know, it was all the pop stuff and more of the hip hop stuff. And that's just not my jam. But I did go to some of them. I remember they did have a country night dance and I was there and I have boots and everything. So I was there in my boots and all that. Let's see, in high school, I don't think I did orchestra. In middle school, I participated in orchestra. So I play the piano and the violin. Took harp lessons actually for a few years, and that was so much fun. But by the time I got to high school, it was either you could take additional academic, you know, hardcore academic courses, like an additional math class or an additional science class to the requirements, or you could participate in band or art or something. And so I went the route of doubling up in math instead of doing orchestra. I don't know if I would do that again. I think it's good to have that well-rounded course load. Although, you know, when I went home after school in my free time, I would just sit, and we had this big anthology of classical sheet music. So, you know, you have Beethoven and Mozart and Brahms. There were a few Handel pieces in there as well. Satie and a few others. Anyway, so, you know, instead of participating in the school's, you know, orchestra program, I just went home and I picked out a couple of classical pieces and I just, you know, I played that. I asked either my mother or my father, Rondo alla Turca, Mozart. That was the song that I really, really, I don't know, for some reason took a liking to in high school. And I memorized the whole darn piece. And, you know, I would just come home, and if I just needed to, you know, chill out and just do a little relaxation, I would just sit and play that. And that, you know, also for Elise, because, you know, if you're playing the piano, you need to know how to play that one. So those were the two main ones that I memorized, and that was just kind of my chill out time. I would just sit and play it. I'm sure I don't have a piano here where I live in Gainesville, and I severely miss it, but you can ask some of our DJs in the station up here. We have a piano in the classical section of our studio, and once or twice I have been known to go in there on the weekends and just play. Which is nice. It's good to have that outlet, and for me, music certainly is that. I still have portions of alla Turca memorized, so I'll go in and play that, and then also, you know, just playing by ear some modern songs, just getting the chords, you know, figuring out the chords, and then just going through. And there's something cathartic about it, and just being able to, I don't know, it's an emotional expression. Sometimes you can't find the words for how you're feeling, but gosh, a song, just a melody, it doesn't even have to have lyrics. It can totally, capture how you're feeling, and it's just an outlet of being able to express that emotion and get it out there, and, you know, give yourself a little bit of peace, you know, being able to express it and get it off your chest. And so, you know, music is that for me. And once I can actually find a place that I'm not renting, maybe I'll invest in a piano and have that when I get home every day.
Were you the only kid that you knew who wanted to be a meteorologist?
Oh yeah. I don't think anybody, most people went the route of, you know, I'm going to be, I don't even know what they wanted to be, quite frankly.
Business. Well, how did people, you wind up doctor. With that? Like, do you remember like the aha moment when you were like, my goodness, what I'm going to do is meteorology, because it's just not something a lot of people pursue, you know?
Yeah. I tell this story all the time. It's a combination of my mom and my dad, you know, my mom with the maps. But I vividly remember, again, car story, sitting in my dad's red Ford Taurus when I was about, again, I think about 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old, and he had those relaxation, thunder and lightning, rainstorm CDs. It might have been tapes, quite frankly, way back when. I guess he listened to those on the way home from work, because at one point he was, he commuted from Toms River up to Paramus, and then even farther north, I forget the name of the town, but it was like an hour and a half commute every single day. And so I'm assuming, I'll have to ask him, he had the thunder and lightning tapes in there to just, you know, help him relax, especially if there was traffic or something. But I remember hearing that, and I don't know, the sound of the rainstorm and the thunder and the lightning, there's something relaxing and I don't know, just very interesting about it. And I always remember just being so in awe when a thunderstorm would come through. And then, you know, when we vacationed in Florida, in Clearwater, you know, we would sit at the hotel and see storms on the intercoastal and also on the Gulf of Mexico on the West Coast, and just seeing the downdraft, seeing the lightning. It was just so darn cool. And my dad's a big weather fan as well. So I think that really influenced me from a young age, and really made me want to get into that. But, you know, at the same time, I was always into just nature in general, animals, and that also influenced me to maybe wanting to get into that as well. It's all, you know, it's always the nature nurture question.
Yeah.
I think it was a combination of the two. I think I'm inclined to feel very, very in tune with the natural environment. So there's that. And then there's also just, you know, growing up with my dad loving the weather, my mom, you know, loving maps, and maps are a huge part of weather, as everybody well knows. But understanding topography as well, and the Earth's surface and how that can interact and influence the atmosphere.
When you got to college and studied meteorology and were mm-hmm. then around other people doing the same, were you like, I have found my people?
It was nice. It was nice to have other people who were as interested in it as I was. 'Cause, you know, it was just cool to sit and talk about, you know, clouds, shelf clouds, or tornado spin ups, or like, oh, do you remember watching Storm Stories? And they're like, yeah. And 'cause when you're the only one in elementary school or middle school who loves Storm Stories, it's like, oh boy. But finding a little group of people who feel the same way, it's fun. And even just having professors who know and can answer your questions. I remember asking questions in middle school and not getting a full answer, you know, about the weather and why clouds behave the way they do and things like that. And then actually getting an answer was so cool. I remember writing in one of my notebooks, I think I was in thermodynamics class. And I, you know, I was wondering, okay, why do clouds only form at a certain level? It seems like on some days it's almost like they're pressed up against, you know, a bottom, like you're looking at almost through glass, and it's almost like the clouds are pushed up to glass, like the bottom of them, and then they bubble up above that level. And finally, we touched upon the topic when we were looking at SKU-T diagrams, and sorry for all the jargon.
Bring it.
I had finally gotten my answer. I remember asking that question in middle school of like, why do clouds seem to only form at a certain level, blah, blah, blah. And we finally got the answer with the LCL level, and it was thermodynamics class. And I even have the notebook right here. But I'm looking at my bookshelf here in my apartment, and I specifically remember learning about that when we were doing thermodynamic diagrams, and writing in my notebook, I finally have my answer, and just, you know, getting into the nitty gritty of it and really understanding it. It's just such a cool feeling, because I don't know, I think a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, why is it so hot out today? I love knowing the answer for it, right? Because it doesn't seem like magic anymore. It's like, oh no, we can explain why this is happening, which is a really great feeling. But the one thing that I always, not complain about, but I always make comments about, is people small talk about the weather, right? It's, you know, when you're just trying to chat at a party or something, you know, you'll always start out with the weather. You're trying to fill time. You talk about the weather. I can't do that. Somebody brings up the weather and I have to go full blown into, yeah, well, you know, this is why this is happening. And did you see this? So, you know, it always winds up that the topic gets changed because I go far too much into detail, and it's funny. So small talk, I can't do weather. I mean, I'd absolutely love to, but I go into far too much detail. So.
Well, you've certainly been passing along some insights as to why it's been so freaking hot here this summer. So thank you, for doing that.
You're welcome. There's only so many times you can say it's hot out and it's going to stay hot out. I wish I had more insight on that. But hopefully it winds down soon. But then we'll be complaining about the relative cold for Florida standards.
Yeah, I won't. Okay, let's do your second song, the Coldplay song.
All right, let's go.
I'm going to play it. I'm going to tell a story.
Let's play it first, because the story behind this one starts to get a little deep. So let's listen to it first.
All right. This is Viva La Vida by Coldplay from their 2008 album Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends. It's Megan Borowski's second song on Three Song Stories. This is Biography Through Music.
Honest word, but that was when I ruled the world.
That takes me a little bit older. I purposely chose these songs to kind of represent different parts of me growing up to present day. So that takes me to seventh grade, end of 2008, specifically in the car on the corner of Route 70 and Brick Boulevard. And I'm in the car with, I believe it's just me, my mom, and my sister. And we're coming home from Brick Hospital. At the time, my maternal grandfather, we called him Pup-Up, he was in hospice after, you know, battling cancer for, I think at that point, it was 3 or 4 years. So this was early December. You know, the sun is setting. It's starting to get dark out. It's starting to get chilly out. Christmas lights are starting to pop up. But I specifically remember being at that intersection and coming home from the hospital. Later on in the month, actually on Christmas Eve, he passed away in the morning. So that song, it seems like that was the song from this album. That was the one that really took off. And that seemed to be the song of 2008. And anytime I hear that song, it takes me to this point of kind of you're on the precipice of being a kid and transitioning into becoming an adult and all of the, I guess, the life awareness that comes with it. That whole, especially the end of the year, was a very painful time for me and my sister. And then, you know, I also watched it for my parents and for my mom, who, you know, lost her husband on Christmas Eve of 2008. You know, so when I hear that song, it, you know, the first one I chose, CeCe Ryder, that brings back happiness and, you know, that childhood innocence. This one brings me right back down. And I don't know, for me, it represents, you know, me sitting on that precipice between that childhood innocence that we talked about with CeCe Ryder, of the anticipation and you know, everything is great and you have no sense of time. And then we go to Viva La Vida in 2008, and I start, you know, this is the point where I'm in middle school. I think I'm about to turn 13 at the time. And you know, there's all the changes that come with that. Your teen years are, you know, the tumultuous, gosh, I can't say the word. You know, it's the unsettled time for you. And, you know, that was the case with this. This was kind of, you know, realizing there's a darker side to life. There's suffering that everybody goes through multiple times. You know, it's not just a one and done deal. And you also start to realize that there's a terminus to life, and it's not, you know, you just have a deeper understanding of what's going on, or, you know, what your existence is here on earth and what your, you know, the human existence and how it can be very painful. And for my parents in particular, they were very involved, with taking care of my pup-up at the end. So it was very hard on them. And then there were other family members who weren't really around. So I also, you know, watched the heartache of that. You can see how, you know, my parents supported one another. And then you can also see how parts of the family kind of just don't support you. And there's ugliness, there's beauty in life, there's all these different things. And it's just very, very confusing, and you know, trying to come to terms with that is very, very hard. And you know, the other thing is now, you know, zooming ahead, what we're like, how many years later? 15 years later. You know, now on my dad's side, my paternal grandfather, just 2 weeks ago, we found out that he had colon cancer. He beat that back in 2020, I believe. And now we just learned that he has pancreatic cancer. So now even hearing that song right now, today, again, haven't listened to it in a long time. The old emotions from 08 with my pup, they bubble right on up. And now it just takes on a whole new thing because it's like we're, you know, our family's going through this again. But so far, at least with that, it's been a little, the experience, I suppose, is a little, has more silver lining because on my dad's side, the family seems to be coming together a lot and really supporting one another and helping take care of him and, you know, get through this. But yeah, it's just the realization that there's ugliness that comes with being a human. But the thing that, you know, I try to think of as well, and this has only come as I grew up and you know, in a high school, I really came to this realization. The only way we can truly and fully experience the joyful and happy times in life is by experiencing the low points in life, because you know how low you can get. So when you're up high, it's like, yes, this is great. Let me enjoy this. Let me embrace it. If you just have this static progression through life and you don't have the ups or the downs, you really don't feel anything. And I think as humans, the beauty of us is that we feel, you know, there's ugly feelings, but there's also great feelings. This song, unfortunately, you know, brings up those ugly feelings, but CeCe Ryder was the happy feelings. So that's the story behind Viva La Vida.
Is that a song that you would have avoided over the years and maybe come across it accidentally, or maybe sometimes listen to it because you want to remind yourself?
I didn't purposefully avoid it. I will say if I was flipping through the channels on the radio and it came on, I probably would have skipped it. But now coming back to it so many years later, I kind of like to listen to it in full because now I know the story afterward. Back then it was kind of the end, you know, when it was going on, it's like, oh boy, you know, this is the end. But I know that there's so much more life to be lived after something devastating happens. And it's awful in the moment, but there's beauty that can come out of any situation, I think. And so now that I know, you know, life has the ups and downs, you're going to ride the roller coaster, I'm not averse to listening to it. But I will say, hearing it a couple minutes ago, it has, you know, that was the first time in a while. And, you know, you get choked up because you, all those feelings and thoughts and memories and of that whole December and Christmas season come back, and it's not fun to feel.
So you got your degree at Rutgers, mm-hmm. and then you spent some time in New York City before mm-hmm. you wound up in Florida. Do I have that right?
That is correct.
How long were you in New York City before you wound up coming to Florida?
Well, I did an internship in New York in 2017. And then 2018 to 2019, I worked as a freelancer, but I worked evenings and then mornings. I was a freelancer for ABC Network. So I would sometimes do World News Tonight weather production. And sometimes I would do Good Morning America. And that was a great experience. Grows you up quickly, you know, having to commute into the city at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Grows you up quickly. I like the way you put that.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though, with Rutgers, I actually wound up, I commuted to school there. So I would be driving for an hour, you know, to get to classes and thinking about thermo or thinking about dynamics when I was driving up. So I wasn't new to the whole commuting thing. And that certainly grows you up quickly when you're, you know, 19 years old and you got to get in your car and drive up the parkway and Route 18 and then be on the turnpike for a little bit. You learn to drive. The New Jersey drivers teach you to drive. so that, you know, you grow up quickly with that, but it, you know, the whole New York thing, that's the totally different beast. But, you know, great experience with it. Great time. Glad I did it. But I, you know, for me, I needed something different, which is why I came down to UF. But yeah, my sister, actually, she's still up there. She absolutely loves the city. She works in the city, and she wouldn't have any other way. For me, I'm like, oh dear, I need trees. I need warmth. I need, you know, pollution-free air, at least to a point. So
that's Gainesville. Gainesville's got all those, doesn't have all those things or whatever, whatever combination that is.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Mike, I miss New Jersey drivers.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. We drive with purpose is what I like to say. But the people down here, I think, are much more kind. And there's, you know, I think it's a little slower down here, which sometimes gets frustrating on the road. But other times it's, you know, kind of back to the whole thing with the song so far. It's like, why am I rushing? Like, what am I rushing to do? Is there anything that absolutely has to get done this second? Or, you know, do I need to be rushing to get where I'm going? So, you know, kind of having the different perspective on life.
The thing about Gainesville, and I lived there for a while years ago, but I've been there a bunch, is that, you know, when you're around campus, especially when class is in session, I understand that the pedestrians have the right of way. I get it.
Yeah.
But they need to play along a little bit better.
Thank you. Yes. I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, come on, man. We're all in this together. You see us waiting. And you know you got to go. You could pick up your pace a little bit. You could acknowledge my presence with your body language, pedestrians. I just had to say that.
I am with you. And, you know, it's funny because whenever I'm crossing the street, usually I'll just be like, no, you guys, like, person in the car, you go. You've got to go. I'm going to take a while. Or I will run across the crosswalk. It doesn't matter if I have a backpack on, if I'm wearing heels, whatever. I will hustle. But it seems like, at least on campus, they go slower across the...
It's like a weird little power assertion or something. I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm like, come on, everybody. Just let's... Yeah, we're all in this together. Let's be a little more courteous. And you, like, each individual is not that... They're the center of their own universe, but yeah. I think they all need to take a little bit of an astronomy course or something and realize they are not the center of the...
Oh, well, I'm glad I could say that finally into a microphone. Did you know anything about the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network prior to, like, noticing there was a job and then pursuing it?
No. So, story on this, and we're going to kind of talk about my experiences in living in Florida in the next song. But even before that, my mom went to law school here. So I knew Gainesville. I knew UF. We would, you know, on our Florida vacations, sometimes on the way home, we would, instead of going up 95, we would take 75, cut across to 10, and then scooch on up to 95, especially when we were on the West Coast for vacation. So I was very familiar with UF. And, you know, at the time in 2019, I decided, okay, I really don't like the city. I need to find a job that, you know, has a more reliable schedule and isn't, you know, starting at 1 o'clock in the morning and then ending at, you know, 9, 10 o'clock. And then I worked in Tom's River too. I was a math tutor. So I would, you know, when I did the Good Morning America shift, I would come home, sleep for a little bit, and then, tutor math until about, I think it was 9 o'clock, and then get like 2 hours sleep and then drive up to the city. So anyway, I was a zombie, which is one of the reasons why I needed a change. So I looked for a job in Florida, and it just so happened that the UF job came up on the search engine that I was using. And, you know, I knew the university well. I knew Gainesville relatively well, although I learned once I moved here, I really hardly knew it at all. But the other thing that really attracted me to it was the fact that this was a job at a university. It wasn't just a broadcast job, not to detract from just a plain old broadcast Met job. But, you know, I am very much into working with students. Again, you know, I was tutoring when I was still up in New Jersey and New York. So I loved having the interaction with students and teaching them and being able to take my experience from being a student And kind of in hindsight, looking at, oh, I wish it were explained to me that way. Then it would have made a whole lot more sense. So, you know, being able to kind of pass that down and give that to students. And then also, you know, I'm a self-proclaimed bookworm and nerd, if that's the term you want to use. So being at a research institution and having an opportunity to work at a university is great. And all of those things attracted me to this job in particular. And, you know, I've gotten to live the dream. I get to do the broadcast stuff. I do work early mornings, but it's not 1 o'clock in the morning unless we're doing storm coverage. So that's few and far between, knock on wood. I get to work with students and mentor them. And then, you know, I'm in the master's program here on campus for geography, applied atmospheric sciences. So I'm doing everything that I love. It's a lot of hard work. I still don't get a lot of sleep because there's a lot that I do, but it's when I look at what I've done in the course of a day, I'm like, yeah, this is everything that I enjoy doing. So that's what drew me down here.
Well, cheers to that. And let's hopefully only hear you for short things about heat for the next 6 years. How's that?
That would be absolutely lovely. Fingers crossed. We have a quiet season, at least for Florida in terms of tropical systems.
Yeah, absolutely. I did knock on wood. I don't know if you heard me earlier, but when you said knock on wood, I literally knocked on the...
I'm knocking on it here too.
Okay. Well, it's time for your third song.
All right, let's go for the song first, and then we'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay, this is Megan Borowski's final song today, Castle on the Hill by Ed Sheeran from his 2017 album, Pronounced Divide. It's the divide symbol, which I now know isn't on the keyboard of normal PCs. This is Three Song Stories. It's biography for the music.
All right, so this one is kind of coming full circle in our little story time that we have here. This takes me back to 2017, the summertime. So I had, I would be entering my last semester of school in the fall. I kind of cruised through school and graduated a semester early. So I was, you know, kind of winding down with everything school-wise. But so picture it, you know, you're in college, and I had gone through some things, you know, the past few years, and I had decided that summer I needed something a big change, and I needed something to kind of reignite, not the fire under me, because I was always, you know, working hard, but reignite, the hope, the passion, the excitement in life again, something to really get me back in a good mindset. And so that summer I blindly applied for and got a job on Florida's East Coast at a Marine Life Center and Sea Turtle Rehabilitation Hospital. And it was just, it was a summer camp job. Like I was a senior educator was the job. So I was one of the oversight counselors, and we taught marine biology and environmental science to students anywhere from, I think it was like second or third grade up to high schoolers. And so that was the job that I got. I got a short-term rental down on the East Coast, and this was my first time really moving away from home. So I commuted to school. So I was, you know, at home for about, I don't know, 6 hours a day just to sleep and then go back up to New Brunswick when I was in New Jersey. But this was the first time living away from home, and this was over 1,000 miles from home. So that was a big change. And, you know, working at the beach every day. I mean, this place was right on the beach, and we would take the students to the beach almost every afternoon. And so it was a huge experience for me. It was kind of the best summer of my life. I frequently, when I look back on it, 2017, I still say was the best summer of my life. This particular song takes me back to, again, the car. On Thursdays, we would take all our students to a field trip location. It was a local county park And we would spend the day at the park in the water and in the mangroves and kind of, you know, applying everything we learned. And it was always also just a fun day just to spend in the water. But so I would go to the park early with some of the other staff members to set up before the rest of the staff and the students arrived. And so we would load up and all the supplies in what we called the turtle van. And it was an old Toyota van. And it was, you know, you could tell it had been used a lot and it had a very faded vehicle wrap on it. But, you know, as we're driving down, I think it was A1A, this song came on the radio and we were all just singing along to this song. And it was, you know, I was screaming it at the top of my lungs. I love this song. Actually, when you were playing it, I put my mic on mute and I was singing along because I, you know, even after not hearing it for a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of months, still have all the lyrics memorized. And I, you know, we talked at the first song about that happiness, that childhood innocence. The second song was kind of more of a somber feel. This third song takes me back to that feeling of happiness, but it's a different shade of happiness. It's not the CC Rider memory. It's, I don't know, I would say it's a fuller happiness because at this point, this memory, I had experienced a heck of a lot of life. You know, there's ups and downs. And so when you're experiencing that joy, it takes on a whole new meaning because you know how low life can get. And so when you are experiencing that happiness, it's that much better. So it's a really, you know, great memory. I smile and you can maybe hear the smile through the microphone when I hear the song because it's just, I don't know. It reminds me that there's always something to look forward to, even if it's just a little something. And it's just, I don't know. It's a reminder that life is a beautiful thing. And, you know, you're going to get beaten up at times. And then at other times you're going to be cruising along. And this brings me back to that summer that was just fantastic. You know, and it's funny, there wasn't anything monumental about that summer either. I mean, I was working every day. I was coming home sweaty and, you know, after having been outside a lot of the times and exhausted after dealing with kids all day. I mean, you have to, you know, with little third graders, you're dealing pretty much with trying to keep everybody in their seat and paying attention. And then with high schoolers, it's a whole different ballgame. But, you know, so I'm exhausted every day. I'm tired. I'm, you know, sweaty. And in that sense of the case, I mean, you would stop and when you're describing it, it's like, what is there to be joyful about with that? But it was fantastic. I was loving what I was doing. I had a great, you know, all the staff where I was working were great. I have some good friendships that came out of that. And, you know, it just teaches me enjoy the little things, revel in every day, soak up the sunshine. And you know, find something to be happy about. You know, and of course, the beach is my happy place. So that was great too.
You were exerting your independence on your own terms for one of the first times.
Yes. And it was a great feeling to be totally in control of every part of my life. And you know, this is my little domain. This is my rental, you know, even though it was only for 3 months, but this is all me, you know, I'm doing this. And, you know, if you ask, I could get my mother on the phone or my dad, or even, you know, some of my friends too. And I was always independent, a very headstrong and independent person. I'm still stubborn as a mule. I think I was always ready to be on my own and to actually to do it and to be so far away and to be doing everything that I loved. It was just such a great feeling. And I wish I could go back to that summer. You learn you can never go back, right? So always enjoy the moment that you're in, because even you can try to recreate it, never going to happen. But looking back at that summer, it was really when I came to, I would say, the adult phase of my life. In the full sense of things, where it's, you know, I can deal with anything that comes my way. I don't want to say I don't need anybody around to help, because I think you always, you know, it's good to have others around to help and to support. But I proved to myself, hell, I can do this. You know, this is fine. This is fun. And I've been doing it down here in Gainesville for a while. But that's soon to end, because I'll be getting married in the spring. So that's exciting.
Whole new reality to negotiate.
Yeah. But that's a whole interesting story with that, because my fiance, he's part of the Army National Guard. So, you know, and he doesn't live in Gainesville. This whole relationship for 2.5, almost 3 years has been in some way, shape or form long distance. He was over in Flagler for a little bit, and then he was deployed to Ukraine. So we were really, really long distance at that point. Now he's down actually closer to your neck of the woods. He's in Tampa now. So still long distance, but it'll be nice once I actually get to not be the sole master of my domain anymore. You learn it. It's good to have a support system. But back then in 2017, I was like, heck, this is awesome. So,
All right. You are you ready for a speed round?
Yes, I guess so.
we're heading in for a landing, and this is where we do the speed round. So
okay.
Try to be as Rorschach as possible.
All right.
Do you have a nickname that stuck over the course of your life that you would be willing to share with our listeners?
Not really. My sister calls me Meg, but she's pretty much the only one who is allowed to call me Meg. It's just Megan.
When was the last time you bought music that had physical form that you could hold in your hand?
Ooh, I would say probably, actually, it was at the Friends of the Library book sale here in Alachua County at, in Gainesville, and they had a couple of CDs, classical music. So I would say last year, 2022.
Do you do karaoke? And if so, what would be a go-to song?
Oh, see, I love to sing, and people in church all the time, doesn't matter where I am, people will turn around and be like, you have a great voice. But I don't know, I'm scared to sing in front of people. I've gotten better over time. I've not found a place to do karaoke. I would absolutely love to. And I think my go-to song, if I were going to do a duet, I would love to do Elton John, Kiki D, Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
If you were a championship wrestler, Megan Borowski, what music would you enter the arena to?
Oh, Lord. Hold on. Rudy soundtrack tryouts. I think it was Jerry Goldsmith wrote the soundtrack to Rudy. It doesn't have any lyrics, obviously. But if you remember the scene from tryouts when Sean Astin is just going for it, I love that. Actually, I listen to that when I'm working out. If I need something to pump me up and do like sprints or something like that, I will listen to that song.
What would your wrestler name be?
Oh God, I don't know.
Megatron.
Yeah, I like that. I like Megatron. Let's go with that one.
What activities or pursuits make you lose track of time the most?
When I'm walking. I speed walk all the time, and I go into autopilot thinking. Horseback riding, I have to be very present when I'm doing that. I can't worry about anything else, because when you are riding a horse, you need to be totally present and in tune with what the horse is doing. What else? Probably playing the piano. I kind of just lose everything, or listening to music. It's just a happy place where I could just do it for hours.
If you could broadcast a song magically into the head of every human in one collective moment, which song would you choose?
Ooh, let me think about that one for a second. I don't know. It depends on what sort of feeling I want, you know, them to have at one particular moment. I would think I would want everybody to feel happy but calm and just pleasant. You know what? Let's just go with ABBA. Thank You for the Music.
Okay. That'll put a spring in people's mental steps.
Yeah.
What would your 14-year-old self think of who you are today?
I think she would be proud, very proud, at everything that I've accomplished, and a little bit surprised at some of the twists and turns, but overall happy and content with where she is now, and proud that I am doing it. I am rocking and rolling, totally independent, and you know, there's a bright future ahead too. So I think she would be very happy.
And telling people the weather.
Yeah, and you know what? Telling people about her favorite songs, or not these aren't favorite songs, but they're meaningful songs.
All right, it is time for you to recommend those three people that you'll share this with that you think we may be able to get on.
All right, so the first one that I can think of off the top of my head is Matt Abramson here at WUFT. He's the director of media services, and I think you'd be able to get him on. He's a huge music dude, and he also directs Amplified here at WUFT, which features Gainesville musicians. So I feel like he would be a big one. Trying to think of other two. Do I have to physically know them?
No, as long as you can get their attention somehow.
Oh, boy, getting their attention. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you could say, yeah, you should have Tom Hanks and Sting.
Yeah, but that doesn't, you know. Well, yeah, I mean, how cool would that be to get Sting on? Oh, you know what? I should have chosen a couple of police. Oh, well, all right. Hindsight's 2020 with that one. Let me think of two others. Gosh, I don't know. I feel like I wish I knew a musician who would be able to really lend themselves to this. Are there broadcasters? There's a meteorologist up in New York that I interned under, Janice Huff. I don't know if I could get her attention, but it would be pretty cool to know what she listens to, especially before doing doing weather spots and things. She's awesome. I would list her as one of my mentors, although I haven't really talked to her.
Well,
in a
you
while.
just saying that will mean when Tara posts this, she'll like at her or whatever they do these days.
Oh Lord, okay.
So that'll work if you're okay with us doing that.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. She's at WNBC in New York, and
okay.
You know, she might, whether or not she knows it, she's a huge influence. I watched her growing up. I remember, you know, having a conversation with her. I watched her growing up, and she is just an awesome role model. The thing about her is she is always positive and happy, no matter what was happening. You know, when I was interning there, or just in society, she is just a literal ray of sunshine, and I think everybody needs to emulate her. So I'd love to know what her songs are. And let's think of a third. I don't know, it's probably going to be somebody here on campus. I don't want to throw the dean into this, but I do love our dean here on campus, so it would be kind of cool to know his songs.
Sounds good to me.
You know what? Let's go with it.
We've had university presidents before. We've had people like that.
Let's do it. If he's got a huge, busy schedule, but if he could get on here with you, I think that would be so cool. Dean Hub Brown here at the CJC. He is so awesome, and it would be cool to know what his musical interests are and what his story is, because he's got a cool one.
Okay, well we'll at him too, or you maybe can All send right. him an email and copy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I
something.
Might shoot him an email.
Okay, it. Megan, you did it.
Yay,
any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of thoughts. I'm going to stick away from the meteorology. I have to say, this has been so much fun having a conversation and not really talking about the weather or the forecast, because you know there's a lot more to a human person than their job. I think the whole thing is life is a journey. I kind of tried to show that through my three songs, of kind of picking things from different eras of my life. There's ups and downs, and just stick with it, because there's always some glimmer of joy there, and just realize that, you know, when you hit the low points, there's going to be high points that you appreciate even more. So just hang in there. Every storm runs out of rain, as they say. You ain't
For this week's parting tune, I'm staying on the Elvis train, taking us back to one of my very earliest musical memories. It was August 17th, 1977. I would have been 5 years old. It was the day news broke that Elvis Presley had died. I clearly remember being in the car with my mom. We were on our way to my grandparents' house when the voice on the radio said something that I could tell caught my mom's attention. I asked her what happened, and she said that Elvis Presley was dead. I said, "Who's that?" And she said, and I remember this clearly, "The guy who wears white suits." I internalized this like a 5-year-old would, and it wasn't until years later that the image I had in my head of a man wearing a white suit who kind of looked like Colonel Sanders was replaced with the king of rock and roll in all of his Las Vegas glittering jumpsuit glory. This is Hound Dog, which is the first song of his that I can remember hearing. Quick reminder, if you'd like to see us make the show in person, mark your calendar for the evening of Saturday, September 16th. We'll be getting to know longtime Fort Myers gallery owner, art dealer, and all-around interesting dude, Terry Tincher, on stage in the Folds Theater at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers. We make Three Song Stories in the studios of WGCU Public Radio on the campus of Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers, Florida. Richard Chinqui is co-creator and producer. Tara Callaghan is host and online content producer. Our production assistant is Jared the Intern Gonzalez. Christophus is our executive producer, and our theme song was made by Dave Cowan and Stick Martin at Monkey House Studio in St. Pete. Keep listening.